You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thanks a ton to our Richmond audience joining us now. Capital of the Commonwealth will be with us for the next 3 hours. To all of you listening in and around the nation's capital on our flagship 106.7. You know how we feel about you. It's nothing but love.
It's a love affair. It is.
It's a love affair.
It is. Virtual hugs everywhere. Even even you guys that hate our guts, you matter to us.
That popped me. That's good. It is certainly a love affair. Baseball off to a fast start this weekend. Not here in Washington, D.C.
No.
But elsewhere. There were 3 sweeps in the opening weekend in Major League Baseball, and it was all underdogs, sweeping teams that are supposed to be better than them.
Mm-hmm.
The Houston Astros over the Oakland Athletics. The Baltimore Orioles, who scored 11 runs yesterday, pounding the Red Sox in 3 straight games. And the Atlanta Braves got swept by the Philadelphia Phillies.
The Phillies swept them. Swept them right out of town.
Washington is hoping to be the next team to get off to a fast start when it plays its first game. Fingers crossed tomorrow. And right now, on the BetQL guest hotline is our buddy Dave Jagler, who will be on the call with Charlie Slows. And he was at the workout this afternoon. Dave, first of all, thank you for the time. I think you're actually going to get to call baseball tomorrow. That's what it sounds like.
Well, I mean, you were talking about the undefeated teams. I mean, the Nationals are still undefeated, so they've got that going for them. I kind of compare it to Christmas morning. It's like when you were a kid, you woke up Christmas morning and you're excited to open presents, and then they delayed Christmas till December 29th. I mean, it's brutal. I mean, we're sitting here. I watched a ton of games over the weekend, but excited to finally get to call one tomorrow.
What do we know specifically here, Jags, in terms of timing, availability for some of these guys? Because for us, we're just on the outside looking in. We don't know when this 7-day or 10-day or if DC's 14-day or if there's a different day when these clocks started. What do we know right now?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know that we know anything. I mean, they've obviously the Nationals have been very close to the vest as far as that. I mean, you know, obviously, if you're following Twitter, the beat reporters were trying to take attendance with binoculars as to who was in the who was at the workout, and more importantly, who wasn't at the workout. You know, Davey Martinez is addressing the reporters now on Zoom, so I don't know if he's going to give further clarification to the roster. But we know there's going to be significant depletion from what you thought the opening 26-day roster was going to be. As far as the clock goes, I mean, if the first positive was Monday, for those who are close contact, if you're going by the 7-day protocol, well, is Monday day one or is Tuesday day one? And you know, does that mean that potentially they could be available tomorrow? And the Nationals don't have to finalize their roster until tomorrow for opening day. So we should get more clarification there, but it's certainly possible that for the guys who are not eligible to play in at least this first series, that they could be eligible to join the team on this next road trip. But again, you're now with the normal major league schedule now, they're flying to Los Angeles. So it's not like this is a division opponent here. So you would have to make arrangements for the players as they become eligible to play again to get out to L.A. and not have to quarantine when they get there. So there's a lot of moving parts. And as you alluded to, Danny, you've got to deal with the MLB protocols and the more strict D.C. protocols. And honestly, as Mike Rizzo has talked about over the last couple of days, it depends case by case whether, you know, a player tested positive or if he was a close contact. Symptoms, no symptoms. There's no one size fits all for all these cases. And again, we'll just have to wait and see what the opening day roster looks like.
You mentioned the D.C. protocols. They are more strict, and that might mean an additional few days before they can get the quarantining players that didn't test positive back, because Jesse Doherty of the Post said instead of the 7 games that baseball dictates, D.C. could say it could be 10 or more. Now, what I don't know, Jags, is if they're hitting the road, to your point, to go out to L.A., does the D.C. policy still matter if they're not playing in D.C.? Is that only for the games in the city, or is that for a company that claims D.C. is home? I don't know how that works.
I don't know that either. We may have to find that out. I'm not sure. And again, for me personally, in the off season, I was at the dentist office and got a close contact. And I was arguing, like, I had this discussion with my wife, and she was being very concerned. I'm like, well, what is day one? Is like day one the day I was in the dentist office, or is day one the following day? I'm like, well, to me, you can't have a day zero. So I was trying to get out of quarantine sooner. I'm like, well, day one is the day I was. And she's like, no. Day one is the next day. I'm like, well, there is no such thing as day zero. So I guess we had that fight in our house. I don't know what the official rule is. Like, if you're a close contact and the close contact last had close contact on that Monday, is Tuesday day one or is Monday day one? So, I mean, if you're going 7 days, if Monday's day one, then yesterday would have been day seven and today would be day eight. So, it's all so confusing to me. And obviously, we don't have a lot of clarity as to what the actual clock is.
Dave Jagler with us here on Grant and Danny. Jags, of the guys that, again, you mentioned we're taking attendance. Of the guys that aren't present, who do they need them to come back the fastest? Who do they need the most?
Wow. I mean, obviously, the starting shortstop apparently was not in attendance, and Trey Turner. A couple of members of the starting rotation were not in attendance from what I've read. I don't believe the closer, Brad Hand, was in attendance. So there, if you assume that the guys who weren't there today are not on the roster tomorrow, this is going to be a decidedly different looking team than what you expected to open the season last Thursday against the New York Mets. So, I think that there's going to be a heavy Fredericksburg alternate training site influence on the opening roster.
Dave Jagler will be on the call of Nationals baseball games here on The Fan whenever they take place. And as of right now, we are planning on one of those games being played tomorrow afternoon, right about now, on your flagship home for the Nationals here in and around D.C., The Fan. Max Scherzer will be on the hill, we know that. And Davey Martinez moments ago just told reporters that it sounds like Luis Garcia is expected to start at second base tomorrow. So he's answering some questions and picking and choosing. Okay. What he divulges, so that at least gives you the information you need on Josh Harrison was not available today at the workout. Perhaps he is going to be out for a few days, so Garcia would start at second. I also think that tells me that there's a possibility that Carter Kieboom is an option all of a sudden. I mean, I guess they would put Perez at shortstop, and then Castro could play third. Carter Kieboom and Luis Garcia are going to have elevated roles, though. We know that. They were sent down to the minors, Jags. They wanted them to get more seasoning. They're both now probably going to be on this 26-man roster to start the year.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that, and Grant, based on what Davey said, just thinking about this off the top of my head, the Braves, I believe, are supposed to start a left-hander tomorrow. So that's showing quite a bit of confidence in Garcia to give him that start, as opposed to say, well, you could play Castro at second and Kieboom at third if he's on the opening day roster. So I think that's a vote of confidence in the Luis Garcia camp, and obviously speaks maybe to Harrison not being available.
The big boys are just going to have to shine, and you're not going to have all of them. You mentioned Trey Turner, Patrick Corbin, John Lester, Brad Hand among the guys who weren't at today's workout.
But I guess Josh Bell, I don't believe, was listed.
Correct.
In the attendance.
And Kyle
Schwarber as well.
Yeah. Many do we want to name, I guess, is the exercise. But having said that, Max Scherzer, you got to go dominate to have a shot. If you're Juan Soto, you can't have a bad week. You need to hit 350 with power. I know that's an unrealistic expectation, but that's how they're going to have to stay afloat, I would imagine.
Yeah. Listen, there's no reason that they can't go out and win baseball games. I mean, the guys that you're calling up, do have some big league experience, but you still have some big time horses that you're going to throw out there. And as you mentioned, Scherzer's going to be chomping at the bit. He's squaring off against the Braves' number four starter. You got to go out and win that game, shut them down. Now the Braves, they got shut down. You mentioned that sweep against the Phillies, Nola, Wheeler, and Eflin shut them down. Now you expect they're going to hit at some point and hit with a vengeance, but go out there and dominate them, like you said. And then if you got Strasburg in game two, he can go out and certainly dominate them. So, yeah, you've got a chance to win to win ball games here. And I think Max relishes the challenge of saying, hey, let's put this team on my back, and I'm going to try to carry you to a win.
Jags, Mike Rizzo repeated this a couple different times, and it sounds like there was a workout last night in addition to today. If and when, not if, but when these guys do come back in whatever order, they're going to need some time to kind of ramp back up because they won't have played for a few weeks now at this point with the spring training wrapping up. And then they're kind of been, isolated to ride their Pelotons at home like Juan Soto had to do last year. So kind of what's the timetable there, and what do those logistics look like?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. The funny thing, and you guys have been around this game, and you hear people talk about the game, and we do this as broadcasters, and it always sounds to me, I laugh at this, it's kind of rationalization or excuse making. If a guy has a bad game, if a pitcher has a bad game, well, he's pitched 3 out of the last 4 days, or he hasn't worked enough. It's always something or it's the other thing. It's never, hey, the guy had a bad day, or the other team was better. You've always got to come up with some excuse why something happened. Well, this would be like a legitimate reason to go out there and struggle, because you, as a player, you gear up your entire spring and you ramp up for opening day, and then to shut down for a week and do nothing is far from the ideal circumstance. But if you let that kind of mentality seep into your thinking, then you're already defeated. So you've got to go out there and put that out of your mind. And I look back just to last year, guys, the two teams that had the COVID shutdowns during the season, the Marlins and the Cardinals, both made the postseason. They found a way to overcome all the obstacles that they had. So, you've got to put aside the excuse making. Obviously, they're at a severe disadvantage from where they'd want to be. But you can't let that even just factor into your mind when you go out and try to play.
Jags, what do you think it's been like for Max's wife and kids at his house over the last handful of days as he's waiting to get the ball?
I know what it's been like for me. I mean, I'm sitting here watching games from 1 o'clock all the way through the Ohtani show last night to after midnight when the Angels walked off the White Sox. I mean, I'm dying to get out and call a game. So I'm sure Max is times 10, bouncing off the walls. At least it sounds like from what he said, he was able to get out and throw. I mean, this is a guy who likes to play catch every day. So I don't know, a couple of days when they were in shutdown, if he was throwing in a park somewhere or in the middle of a street or whatever, but he was going to get his work in. And, obviously I think he'll be primed and ready to go tomorrow.
Jags, non-science report division, right? Actual matters of baseball, if and when we get everybody back and baseball is played, and this is hopefully all just a footnote in sort of the season story. What are the things you're looking for? Some of the keys, and I hate, kind of these phrases of things like X factor and the like, but what are some of the things you say, this is something I'm really curious about. I've kind of got my laser focus on this as to which way it'll break.
Yeah, well, it's nice to talk about that kind of stuff, Danny, because we've been so focused on actually getting on the field. But, I mean, one of the things we were really focused on was the lineup. I mean, we talked about that, ad nauseum during spring training, the experiment of putting Robles at the top and who's going to protect Soto and how is the new guy's going to fit in, the Bells and Schwarbers, if and when they're there, how that power in the middle of the lineup is going to protect Soto. So, yeah, when you're fully healthy, let's see what that lineup looks like. That's going to be a laser focus. And again, we talked about the bullpen being a strength going into the season, but there were some, some ominous signs, at least during spring training, with the Will Harris injury and obviously Rainey being slow to ramp up. So, here's a guy, Rainey, who was rushing to get ready for the season, now had to ramp it back down. Is he going to be fully effective at the start of the year? So how does Davey manage those late innings? And again, kind of the whole thing for the whole sport is how do you go from a 60-game season to 162-game season managing the workload of your pitching staff? And obviously they kept Eric Fetty and Austin Voth, added Luis Avila to the mix as a guy who could pitch multiple innings. You have these guys who can be bridges if you want to cut your starters short to get to your late-inning relievers, but how do you manage over a six-month season now not putting your pitchers in a situation where they could be a health risk, considering that they didn't throw a lot of innings last year. So, that applies to Strasburg and Joe Ross, guys who didn't pitch at all in 2020. So those are questions kind of overarching for the whole season that we were looking at it and focused on, at least in April. And again, I'll say this. We talked about that schedule being a gauntlet to start the year. Well, the Mets series is already postponed. Potentially, you're playing the Braves 3 games in 2 days and the Dodgers and Cardinals with a depleted roster. We wanted this team to get off to a good start, not wanting to go the 19-31 route every year. And it's going to be now a little bit of a harder task to get off to a good month of April, considering their schedule and considering their roster.
At least they only open with the Braves and the Dodgers in the next week. A couple of playoff favorites in the National League. Here's how crazy it is, Jags, before we let you go, just because, you know, this is all coming out as Davey's talking while you're on with us. Davey just said that Jonathan LaCroix might catch Scherzer tomorrow. They're waiting his PCR saliva test coming back. For people that don't know, LaCroix is a longtime Brewer. He's been in the big league since 2010.
Yeah, 2016, he's thrilled with that signing.
Right, yeah, 2016, he had 24 homers. But this is a guy who was 6-for-18 in spring training with the White Sox. Tony La Russa and the Sox said no thank you at the end of camp, and they sent him packing. Well, the Nats just signed him over the weekend to a minor league deal. Davey just told reporters he could be in the lineup catching Max tomorrow if he's able to pass his tests.
Well, that tells you about the availability of Alex Avila and Yan Gomes.
Yeah, well, at the workout today, neither were there, and it was Tres Barrera and Rowdy Reed, a couple of guys from the Rochester Red Wings, or what are they called, the Rochester Nationals? I don't know.
They are the Red Wings. They are the Red Wings.
Okay, yeah. I don't know if they changed the name. But, yeah, so the Rochester Nats are ready to line it up with Juan Soto leading the way, I guess. Is that what's happening here?
Well, I'll tell you what. With Scherzer on the mound, it's going to be a little better than what Rochester's throwing out there whenever they have their opening day. Slightly. But, yeah, that's really the nature of this season. And boy, just, you know, if you could, you know, have your wish, you know, just don't get buried here the first couple weeks of the season as they're trying to get whole again. You know, go out there and hopefully steal a few and try to play around 500 before you get everybody back.
Jags, I'd like to hear you call a regulation baseball game tomorrow. I hope that's not too much to ask. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Okay, guys.
Be well.
See you,
there's
my friend.
Dave Jagler on Grant and Danny. And the expectation is that he and Charlie will be calling a game on the Fan. The Nats will open the season tomorrow. And we should reiterate, because this is important. I mean, a lot of what we cover on this show is obviously the baseball element of what's going on with the Nationals. But last we've heard, and everything that we've heard, is that the four guys who have tested positive are all doing well, whoever they are. And we know which players are not actually there, but you don't know who's a close contact, who actually tested positive with COVID.
Right.
Three supposedly have been asymptomatic the entire time. One had a fever and was feeling pretty normal pretty quickly. So we're making kind of light of the situation and talking about their roster. But it is important to note, Danny, that everyone who has COVID, supposedly within the organization, from a health standpoint, is doing okay, and that's a big deal.
Right. So for our personal frustrations and kind of, you know, throwing our hands up because this is our entertainment and we're all fans and we all just want this to go off without a hitch, obviously, you're 100% right to bring it up because the most important thing is that everybody's healthy and safe. And that continues to be the most important thing for the whole country, not just here in D.C. with Nationals fans and folks that work at the stadium and that are connected to baseball and everyone in all our lives. That's 100% right, yes. So as far as we know, knock on wood, everybody is A-OK. And now we're just sort of waiting to make sure that, you know, our spread is stopped and the guys that are in close contact are safe and everybody's recovered and hopefully everyone's got enough antibodies and we can go play some baseball games eventually. Just, it's frustrating that it's not quite here yet. Everybody, to a man, by the way, that we've had on the talk about this, has used that Christmas morning analogy because it's perfect. That's exactly what it is.
I thought. And I said it.
Yeah.
And now every other guest we've had on since has said it. And now I know it was a bad analogy for me to use. Not because I don't like those guys, because I like them. But it means I thought I was being super creative.
Yeah.
I actually thought about it. I'm like, okay, I need one. What's perfect for something you wait for a while? Then it comes, but you don't get it. You have to wait a couple more days. So I came hard with it at 2:02 in the afternoon on opening day. I said, this is how I'm going to open the Grant and Danny radio program. And now everyone else that's been on the show has used it. And I know that it wasn't particularly creative or interesting.
I think you should take it the other way, which is, it's good. It's good enough, but it's also accessible. You're beating yourself up because it's accessible. It's a very apt analogy. It's very apt.
I don't strive for accessible. I strive for
appropriate and apt. It's apt.
I do. You know what? If I strive for anything, it's appropriate and apt.
That's who you are.
This is it.
You're my friend, Grant Paulson, who's always appropriate and always apt.
I don't love anything as much as Aaron Rodgers loves Jeopardy. And starting
my
tonight,
guy loves it.
Aaron Rodgers will be hosting Jeopardy for 2 weeks. We'll talk about that next on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Aaron Rodgers kicks off his 2 weeks as the host of Jeopardy tonight. This is getting more run than any of their other celebrity hosts that they've had. It seems like it's going to be good for business. I know I'll tune in and watch some Jeopardy.
Curious, right? You want to check
Rodgers
it out, yeah.
As the host just to see what it looks like. He's apparently taking it really seriously. He studied the film, and I mean that as a football term. He went back and watched episodes of Jeopardy. He's the biggest Jeopardy fan in the world. The guy loves it. He's been on as a player in the past on Jeopardy when Alex was still hosting. Alex is one of his heroes, and he's taken this as a job interview, basically. He said to Pat McAfee on Pat McAfee's show today, he wants to be the future host of Jeopardy. I don't know if that's an actual option, if he could pull that off and continue to play for the Green Bay Packers. Maybe it's a post-career thing, but he loves him some Jeopardy, and his life goal of hosting an episode comes true tonight. He's filmed 2 weeks. They're in the can. He did it all within a couple of days.
That's wild how
they
do that.
The first of them airs today.
So when I was just making it about myself for a second, I was the studio comic for the Tyra Banks show for a while.
You don't talk enough about this. Give me a little details.
It's not as if it comes up all the time, but I did it for a while. And the thing that they do is they film a lot of episodes in a very short amount of time. So they ripped off 2 a day, 4 days a week for basically this 5, 6, 7, 8 week run. And then everyone goes on this like well-extended vacation, right? To let Tyra Banks do a million other shows and kind of do whatever else. But then the crew that's on this lot will take a week or 10 days and then go do another show. So Wendy Williams tape right next door. They'll tape, you know, 5 or 6 other different things. And they're all kind of there in-house for this production company. But so it was weird, by the way, just a quick side, when it was like fashion makeovers and I'm doing like stand up and like kind of stuff in between. And then the next episode, like that afternoon, would be like, my parents forced me to be into the sex industry. And you're like, who traveled from out of town? Who came a long way? Who wants a t-shirt? You know, it's like the somber, terrible mood and it's awful. Anyway, that experience was eye-opening when it came to like when we see a new episode, we're like, oh, it's a new episode. That's filmed months ago when they were just cramming in like dozens and dozens and dozens of shows. So him doing 2 weeks worth in 2 days doesn't surprise me.
Apparently he was great at it.
I believe
that. These are all taped and he is a huge fan of the show, and as I said, fully invested himself in it. This was Aaron Rodgers. I think he did an interview with Kenny Mayne of ESPN. This is what he had to say about his time as the host of Jeopardy, which begins tonight.
I studied my ass off. I really did. I watched hours and hours of episodes from a new perspective, watching as the host now, studying Alex, every beat of the show. And then when I got the clues, which they're very hush-hush about the clues, which they should be, you know, just saying them out loud and figuring out commas and emphasis points and just, you know, I wanted to be as thorough and prepared as possible. There's no real way, I don't think, of being completely prepared just because you have just so much going on. And I'm talking about, like, being able to read perfectly every single clue. Like, I think even the great Alex had to do a couple pickups at the end of the show just because there's words you may have seen one or two times, and it might be clue number 17, and you have 305 clues in one day. You got to read perfectly. It's a tall task, but you know, I approached it with a lot of respect, not just for the show and being a huge fan of the show, but for Alex, and wanted to do his memory justice by just being as prepared as I possibly could.
This is a really difficult job.
Yes, it is.
As far as hosting goes.
Yeah.
He mentions there's a weird word you maybe have only seen one time. I'll just speak for myself. I guarantee there are places and words I've never seen ever.
Right.
That's really difficult. That's hard. Pronunciations are difficult. But there's also a formal nature of that show. There's a formality to it. It's almost stuffy. You know, it's not your normal game show where you misspeak and it's okay.
Yeah.
There is everyone there is 99th percentile smart.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no mispronunciations.
Yeah, there's money on the line, dude. You can't mispronounce a word.
But there's money on the line in a lot of shows. And you can watch, like, name your favorite show over the years, whether it's Wheel of Fortune or whatever. And it's, you know, it's loose. Nobody, you know, you take your shirt and tie down a little bit, you roll yeah. up your sleeves, and it's fine. Jeopardy's not that. I think it's probably one of the hardest things to host. But that's why I do believe whoever replaces Alex Trebek probably has to have been a massive fan of it or in on Jeopardy, like part of the furniture.
Right, give a damn about it, yeah.
Part of the family. And Rodgers, because he was a contestant, more importantly, because he watched apparently every single night for years and years, kind of qualifies. But he is also one of those guys who is smart enough, sharp enough, a studier. He comes off to me as someone, and I'm looking forward to watching. I'm going to text my wife and make sure we DVR it in case I'm not home in time tonight, coming back from the show. I'll bet you he can do this if he really wants to. I could see him hosting this. What a weird second career that would be for Aaron Rodgers.
Well, you mentioned threading the needle, though. It's not just being able to read with good diction and clearly to get the clue out so that people can buzz in and answer, or in this case, provide the question that the answer is giving you. There's got to be a charisma to it also, but you can't do it like a normal, I'm Chuck Woolery, or I'm doing the game show voice, I'm Wink Winkendale, and I'm winking at you. He'll be right back. You've got to be genuine and bubbly and effusive, but without being over the top, right? Because it's not a spin the wheel, here's the trap door.
Right.
It's this real, genuine thing where Trebek was had so much grace and was such a gentleman about it, right? I mean, he would joan on occasion, was always good-natured and playful, but the ability to, you know, to read this thing and have us still be entertained, even if it's the most impossible minutia that nobody would ever know except for the three contestants that are standing up there, right? That's a really fine line. So to your point is, it's really hard to do that show. It's yeah. really hard to do a good job of it.
But and I'm not knocking Trebek posthumously here. I just think that show, hosting that show compared to most other shows like it, you are going to be a little bit less unemotional. You know, there is, like, his zings were dry.
Yeah.
His humor was dry.
Very much.
Doesn't mean he's not funny. Doesn't mean there aren't laughs. But it is not a big personality role. And that's where I think Rodgers, who is a little bit smug, mm-hmm. who comes off very dry, self-satisfied, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that he can work in this role. We'll see. I mean, we'll see what it looks like.
Yeah, it's not going to be for lack of effort. He's not just showing up and being like, yeah, I'll read the card. Where's it at? Which camera am I looking into?
Aaron
He's doing
Rodgers
it, man.
Hosting Price is Right Aaron Rodgers hosting some random
Let's make a deal.
Yeah, something like that. Or even the what was the Anthony Anthony one, like to tell the truth or whatever. Doesn't work, I don't think. I can see this working. And again, he said he wants to do this full time. Now, could that actually play schedule wise? I don't know. Off season, probably really easy for him to film a bunch of episodes.
Get your tapings in.
He's now engaged to, or are they married?
I don't know.
Shailene Wood?
Shailene Woodley.
We're looking for Shailene Woodley.
Shailene Woodley.
They're either engaged or married. So, I don't know if you can you move out to LA or where you would go, but you could have a studio situation set up. You could be around there, and you and your wife, she's a Hollywood actress. I think that could play as a second career. But what do you do in season? Can you bang out 5, 6, 7 months of shows, put them in the can in the offseason?
Yes.
It seems aggressive
to
me.
It's coming in hot because when you start having to skip an OTA or you start farving it, you know, Favre's on his farm, and you got to have the punter and like a couple players like fly in and get him back for training camp. You might have to send some, you know, send Devontae Adams to California. Say, Aaron, please come back. I know you're filming Jeopardies, but, you know, I need you to practice this week. It might run a little tight when you start filming that many episodes, but you could squeeze him in the offseason. And eventually when he retires, which we're not that far from, I mean, I don't think it's imminent or anything, but kind of setting him up for that.
He's got 5 more years.
At the if he's on the Tom Brady plan, he does. And I mean, but
he was the MVP in the league this season. Yeah. He was the best quarterback in the NFL this year.
And that's kind of where I was going is, if you'd asked me a couple years ago how much time does he have left, I wouldn't have said as much as I would now, right? Just given the year that he just had and how good they are and how close they are to maybe winning the whole damn thing.
Only 37. Quarterbacks now, you know, 41, 42 is kind of when you start thinking about hanging him up.
Yeah, which is, again, just so amazing given the history of that sport. But just to Rodgers' skill set, I'm with you in the sense that that show commands a you have to have a presence, and you can be dry. Like if they're in a sports category and you get like 3 rocket scientists up there or whatever, and they don't have a clue, you know, like think of in White Man Can't Jump and Glory is like, who is Babe Ruth, like for the all-time rebounder? And, you know, Trebek would just kind of go, not a sports fan. And then like go back to the next, like you've got control.
I do hope they play into it a little bit. I don't know if they randomize the categories. I hope there's a sports category. Or some kind of quarterback
thing. Where he's the answer.
It'd be really great if he's the answer. Those are my favorite Jeopardy moments as a sports fan. The viral videos of three people not knowing what team LeBron James
because
plays
feel so superior. You'd be like, I know that, you idiot. And they're like, who's Wordsworth? And I was like, I don't know.
That would be the most unique second career of a superstar. Like, there are other guys who have done things, I'm sure.
Yeah, guys who were linemen that are now doctors.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But as far as the best players of all time at their position caliber, and especially at a quarterback level, I mean, this is one of the 10 biggest names in sports for the last 12 years running.
Mm-hmm.
Hosting Jeopardy would be about as weird a second career, as odd a second career as you're going to find. Cool way.
In a very cool way, yeah.
But, like, you go into broadcasting or you know, the only thing that even comes close, some of these guys jump into politics or something. That's pretty strange. For him to be the host of Jeopardy is kind of a show.
Yeah, it's like, remember when Shaq for like an hour was like a deputy? Or what was he?
I think he was a police officer.
But he was something. Oh, you're a U.S. Marshal. Chasing out criminals. He was doing something in law enforcement, but then he didn't. Now he's on Inside the NBA again, and he's doing commercials. I don't know. But like he did that for a little while. We go, that's really cool.
He's also a DJ.
He does that. He does do that.
He's got his finger in a lot of pies.
But he, like, I think they were very temporary. I think he did that for like an hour and then stopped and then went back to wearing a suit on stage and joning on Chuck for not having any championships. I think that's what happened. Maybe I got that wrong. Maybe he's still a deputy. I think it's still cuff you and stuff you if he catches doing some impropriety. But I think for the most part, he maybe lost those privileges.
Did you hear Barkley?
Yes, of course I did.
The Jimmys and Joes?
Yeah, I did a little video on it on the old Twitter account. I had Funny Danny.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I didn't see it. All right, so I want you to do that for us, and I want to play that clip today at some point. But Barkley talking about Jimmy's and Joe's
was just amazing. And everyone's just kind of waiting for it to be over because it's clear that he started it. Nobody starts a sentence and not knowing where the sentence ends more than Charles Barkley. He started with a thought, and then it's still going. And like Ernie's going, somebody put a period. Somebody got a period in there. Like he just needs to stop the sentence. But there's Jimmy, and there's Joe,
and James and Phil and Peter, and there's a guy named Chris who can really play. Like, what the hell are you talking about, dude?
Double play next on GND.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Monday, Grant and Danny on the Fan, April 5th, 2021. As always, thanks much for making the show part of your day. 6 o'clock tonight, Chuck Culpepper will be with us. He is in Indianapolis covering Final Four. He has been in Indy for a while. I guess if you are covering the event, you have to somewhat quarantine as well. How does that work, do you think?
Great question, buddy.
Quote-unquote inside the bubble.
I'm going to ask him, logistically, what's it? It entail, because I mean, media is allowed to be at the game, right? There's a critical mass.
Yeah,
there, some
every
are.
Game.
Yeah. So I can't imagine every publication gets to have unlimited numbers. So I'm sure it's a, you know, a limited selection there, but yeah, pretty much. You probably just buy yourself a lot in the hotel room, eating a lot of room service, and, you know, just going to and from the arena. And that's it.
I'm a big room service guy.
Big room service guy.
I could get used to that. I want one of those late night brownies and the little plastic wrap that comes. I want some potato chips, the kettle cook, the crunchy.
I like
chips.
Filling out that little card.
Yeah.
And putting it on the door where it's like, tomorrow morning there's going to be some breakfast outside this door.
There's going to be some eggs and bacon.
There's going to be some breakfast, and I'm selecting it now for what I want in about 9 hours.
I want to get to our double play. We do it every day at 3:45, so let's hop to it on GND. Sponsored by Mattress Warehouse, with free next day delivery, set up available on all orders over $7.99 and a 1-year price guarantee. Learn more at sleepappens.com.
Danny Rullier, Netflix show review time, my friends. I keep begging the populace, please, please watch the Formula One show, Drive to Survive, on Netflix. It's outstanding. There is a moment late in this season that's one of the most incredible, stunning, jaw-dropping events I've ever seen in any kind of medium, any broadcast, any television, any movie, whatever. It's so staggering and unbelievable. You will know it when you get there. Please tweet me at FunnyDanny when you get to it. It is a 9 out of 10 carbohydrate show. It's amazing. A show that I'm reviewing a little bit less favorably. Darius, I'm curious what you think. I'll bother you during the break. I've gotten through all 3 episodes of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, GP. What file do you have on that one? It's the latest Disney Marvel situation.
I'm aware of the characters because they're from movies that I've seen and enjoy. I'm a big Anthony Mackie guy. I don't know the name of the actor who plays Bucky Brooks.
Sebastian Stan is who we're looking for.
Bucky Brooks is not the guy. Bucky Brooks is from NFL Network.
Yeah, he's NFL Network, who believes in QB wins. But he's a really smart dude, but still believes in QB wins and drives us crazy.
We actually like him. He was really mad at us and screamed at us about quarterback wins. What's the guy's name? Bucky?
Bucky Barnes.
Bucky Barnes,
Bucky
not
Barnes.
Bucky Brooks.
Yeah.
So maybe I don't know as much as I thought about those guys. But I do know Anthony Mackie as Falcon.
Yeah, he's really good. I mean, I don't know how to explain this. I don't know why I don't love it, but I just don't love it. When we were watching WandaVision, when they were doing all this exposition and kind of setting stuff up, you kept feeling like something amazing was coming, and then something amazing happened.
In fairness, when you watch WandaVision,
early on,
something amazing did happen. When he took Cole deep in the World Series, and then he took Verlander deep right after that in the World Series, that
I see what
was
you did.
Awesome. Well, I loved that.
You're disrespecting the home run off Kershaw, but we'll get to that, or the base hit off Hader, which doesn't happen.
And he
but
turned 22 in the World Series.
All at the same time.
And that was all via my WandaVision.
WandaVision. So WandaVision was amazing, and it was an achievement. It was outstanding. So the first couple episodes, whatever, we're building the exposition, we're building the world, you give it the benefit of the doubt, you could sense something major was coming. This, they just kind of started right away, and it's like a movie every week, high-level action, it's beautiful, it's stunning, it's huge.
That's real interesting.
I want to love it. You ever have a show like that where you know you're supposed to love it?
Yes, but it doesn't sound like you
want
to love it.
I don't love it. I want to love it. I want to love the show. I don't love the show. I would like to love the show. I signed up to love the show. I wrote down things that would make me think I was going to love the show. I studied the things that I needed to know about the show. Three episodes in, I'm going to watch it, GP. But it's really a 6 out of 10 carb so far.
I'm going to tag in Darius here because Darius is a Mark Ruffalo.
Does he disagree with me?
I don't know what
he is. Is he a Marky Mark?
We're going to find out. I think he loves everything Marvel, and I think he's a Mark Wahlberg when it comes to anything they've put
What's
on.
What's your review there, guy?
Is this on Disney Plus?
Disney Plus.
Disney Plus,
okay.
Yes.
Have you watched these?
I have. I've watched all three episodes so far.
My prediction, Darius is a Mark Hamill. That's my prediction.
First of all, I didn't know you knew that name. Good for you.
I appreciate it.
Good for you.
That was bravo. Bravo, man. Yeah. Danny, I'm extremely disappointed. I don't know what to say.
Boom.
You are absolutely shocking me. I'm loving every minute of the show so far. I think it's going to lead to a lot of different things that are going to set up more in the MCU.
Oh, well, we know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's not in dispute.
Yeah, right, of course. And I'm loving every single minute of it. I love that they brought back. I don't even know if I can give spoilers.
Are we allowed to say?
No spoilers.
All right. All right.
No spoilers.
They brought someone back you didn't think was coming back. I tell you that.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, they showed us another side of a another character.
Yep.
That I didn't think could be possible. I didn't know he could be funny. Depending on what, you know, based off of what he'd done in previous movies.
Uh huh.
Danny, I'm disappointed. I don't know what to say.
I just would like to love it, and I don't love it, and I don't know why I don't love it. I can't put my finger on it. I'd like to put my finger on it.
I think you need the vision to be clear. I think you need clarity of what is going to be the end of the series, like what everything is going to lead to. I think that's what it is. Is that what you're seeking, maybe?
I don't even know how to describe this, because I know this is probably frustrating. If you haven't watched this show, and the Grant, I'm sure, is bored to tears by this, I'm sitting there going, I just don't, and I want to, but no. Maybe if I did, I get how frustrating this is if you've never watched
this. It's great radio for you to say 60 times.
Yeah.
I want to like it, but I don't.
But I've watched it, but I don't, but I did. Oh, I'm annoying. I get it.
Can I ask Darius a question as a point of order?
Please do.
You watched WandaVision?
Yes, absolutely.
You loved it or liked it?
Loved it. I loved it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bigger moment in WandaVision, the 3-run swing against the Brewers.
He derailed us. You see what he did?
Or the home run against the Dodgers. Bigger moment.
Ooh, man. That home run against the Dodgers.
Big.
Yeah. It was humongous.
And I bet you didn't even think Rendon was going to make a cameo in WandaVision. But then
it happened.
And the tie and the lead taking. Were they down 2? Back-to-back solo shots?
Back-to-back. 3-1 they were down.
Oh,
my 3-1 they were down.
Off of Kershaw.
Well, here's why it's a bigger deal in the Dodgers series. It's a bigger deal because they'd been to the division series before.
Are you actually answering the question?
Yeah, they'd been to the division series, but they'd never gotten past the division
series. We're just debating WandaVision.
That's why Howie Kendrick and WandaVision was the biggest moment, because they'd never gotten past that moment. They'd never gotten past
that. I still think Juan Soto's swing, the name we call it WandaVision,
yeah,
against the Brewers was the biggest of the whole deal. I remember sitting there in that ballpark knowing for 3 straight hours they weren't going to get any hits that
they were losing.
They were losing. They couldn't hit. They couldn't score. And I knew the whole time in the back of my head, I got to go into the studio and Danny's going to cry for 4 hours about how they choked. And I got to wear that. And I was furious. And then he came through with that swing.
And saved you from all of that.
And the funny thing about it was,
yeah,
you wanted to like it. You said you wanted to like it, but you couldn't like
it. I only repeated that 11 times during this segment. I'm going to get to the bottom of it and come up with a better reason.
All right. We'll be waiting.
The point is, it doesn't have the heart. it doesn't have that emotional stake for me just yet that WandaVision clearly did, because you knew what you'd been through, Jeeps.
My double play. I'll make it very, very fast for you.
Yeah.
Back in on steak fries. I was out on steak fries for a little while.
What happened?
I don't know. I think crinkle cut fries are superior, and I started to like shoestring fries. I was liking some other kind of fries, and I just should have never stopped liking steak fries. Bigger fries that are just huge, they can be good too. Back in on them.
Have we established where you are on curly fries?
We have established that I am not out, but they are very low on my list as a general rule.
Yeah.
If you're going to take one type of fries away from me, and all the fries that I don't care about, like seasoned or what kind of fries do they
Boardwalk.
Have?
Boardwalk.
No, I love Boardwalk. What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm throwing that fries.
No, waffle.
What's the kind? Waffle's great, Darius. Don't say waffle. Why are you saying waffle fries aren't
He's good? Naming kinds of fries. No, why are you getting mad we're helping?
Sorry. What are the fries? They're like orange.
Sweet potato fries?
No, not sweet. Sweet potato fries suck, and no one should ever eat them. But no, they're not sweet potato fries. There's another kind of like orange seasoned fry. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Like they have at Checkers and Popeyes?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Okay. What are those?
I just thought they were seasoned fries.
There's like those chicken fries.
Those are out. Those are completely
like
out.
Like Cajun fries kind of a thing?
Cajun fries.
Yeah, they're out.
Yeah, okay, okay, okay.
Out. The opposite is safe. What's the opposite of safe?
Dangerous?
Nope.
Unsafe?
In baseball. If you're not safe, you are...
Damn it. I was going to try to keep him going for a while, Darius.
Darius jumped in.
I know you got it. I love it. I know you do.
Danny, how aren't you getting this?
I'm like, does the umpire's ruling, if you pass a base runner, then you are.
I'm back in. The point is.
You're in.
I am in on steak frites, steak fries now. I'm back in.
What does steak frites come with? Fries?
What's the soup du jour? It's the soup of the day.
Mm.
Beltway Blitz is next. 5 at 5. Weirdly enough, at 5, and Chuck Culpepper at 6. We're in this thing for the long haul today. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.